Okay, we're at the beginning of Midrash in Vayeshev. We'll see what the Midrash says, and then maybe I'll go through it a little bit. We'll see. I didn't try this yet at this setting, but at the Shir, but I'll maybe go through something from my great-grandfather here in Be'er Mayim, his classical Perush world, as much as was left from it on Midrash Rabbah. But first, let's see what the Midrash says. Vayeshev Yaakov. Yaakov lived. Now, without seeing the Midrash, the simple question that one would ask over here, and we'll see if the Midrash relates to it, but the simple question is, we already saw that Yaakov is living in Canaan. Why do we need to say Yaakov lived in Canaan? And what might the significance of saying Be'eretz Megurei Yaviv, that he lived in the land that was the living place of his father? We know all of that already. What is the Torah telling us here that we don't know? So I would assume that those are the questions. Generally, when the Midrash begins, and here there's no Posach, unlike the other Midrashim we've had at other Parshias, we usually have the introductory comments that someone said before they began darshaning. That's the Posach. There is no Posach here. That to me is not a question. There isn't. I can't build a novel interpretation on that basis, at least not as we speak. But usually when there is a beginning, whether it is with a Pesicha, whether it is with something the Midrash coins an introduction, or it just begins, it's usually relating to an obvious question at the beginning of the Parsha. And usually those obvious questions will be found later in the Meforshim on the Parsha as well. This is a common question that's asked. So I would assume the Midrash is going to investigate that question. But as always, it begins with a posik from elsewhere. This posik is in Yeshaya. Bezakcha yatziluch kibbutzayich. Now, bezakoch, I'm going to assume, means when you shout out to God, which is a form of davening. When you daven, those who gather for you will rescue you. Now, Rashi, though, doesn't learn that way. Rashi says bezakoch over here is l'shoin kinus. It means when you gather people together, and he brings you a posuk that Sisera gathered together. It says Vayazek Sisera in Sefer Shoftim. And the Matnas Kahuna says the same thing, that Vayazek over here means to gather together. So if Bezakach means when you gather together, then those that you gathered will save you. So from that we learn, Tani, Kinuso, his gathering together, the chinus bonov, and the gathering of his sons, hitzilo miyad Esav, is what rescued him from the control of Esav. Now this sounds very nice and very straightforward, but there's a question here the Meforshim don't ask. My great-grandfather, though, asks it. And that is, what does the Midrash mean? Isn't his gathering with his sons? Who else did he gather with? So why do you need a double language, his gathering and the gathering of his sons? What does that mean? It's the same thing, apparently.
Unless his sons gathered other people.
Who else was there? I don't know of anyone else either. So, good, they gathered themselves, and Matnas Kahuna says, they gathered themselves for tefillah, as Yaakov prayed, Hatzileni no miyad achi, rescue me from my brother. And so he gathered himself to pray. But if gathering means joining with other people, what's the double language here? unless it means he focused himself to daven and his sons focused to daven. If it means that, then I don't have a question. But usually kinus means that you gather together. That's generally with other people. How does that fit here? The es kulam, this is the continuation of the pasuk in Yeshaya. So he says, ves kulam yisa ruach yikach havel. All of them he will carry through the spirit, and he will take what is nothing. Who carries something, all of them, and it's all meaningless? That's Esav va'alufav, that's Esav and his chieftains. But v'hachosebi, whoever covers himself, whoever puts his trust in Hashem, and chose, in another place, the Vilner Gaon explains, chose means even when you're not promised something, you have full confidence in that individual, although that individual committed nothing to you. That's chisayon. So the one who is chose in Hashem, yin chalaretz, will inherit the land, and that's Yaakov, as it says by Yeshev Yaakov. So, assuming that I touched on to the right questions that the Midrash might be bothered with, that why does it repeat Vayeshev Yaakov, and then also that it was Eretz Megurei Yaviv, we know all of the above. So how does the Midrash, if I'm right, how does the Midrash explain that over here? So we'll see. It's also not so spelled out in all of the Mefarshim as to how it is spelled out.
And the Chosa is referring to Yaakov relying on Hashem?
Yeah. I think so. And that would make sense, because at this juncture, when you're talking about when he was confronted with Esav, we learned last week, we mentioned that Hashem doesn't appear like he did in other situations, in other instances, and say that I'm going to be with you. And we said, because what he did on his own. It wasn't as per Hashem's instructions. So here he was a chose in Hashem, and it helped him. So, but what does it mean? So, here, my great-grandfather starts out. I'm going to try to see what he says. Yes. It looks like a small, straightforward midrash, but as we showed, there are some things here. We'll see how he discusses it. So he says, he brings the Rashi, and also Matnas Kahuna, that Bezakach means gathering, when you gather together. So what Rashi means, he says, is that in the Midrash it says kinus, kinuso, and kinus bonav. It talks about a gathering together twice. But the problem is the pasuk only talks about gathering in one place, kibbutzayich. That's why Rashi had to say bezakach is also gathering. So gathering is mentioned twice. So there are two gatherings. There's the gathering of Yaakov and the gathering of his sons. That's what we would call the cheshbon. That's how the layout of the Midrash and the Rashi here. But then he says, the fact that kinuso v'kinus bonav, what does that mean? What is the significance of mentioning it twice? Now, he doesn't speak out what I said orally. That's apparently, if it means gathering, and it means gathering of people, so kinuso and kinus bonav is really the same thing. What's the difference? So that needs to be understood. Yes, that's what he continues. He says, even that I don't understand. His kinus and kinus bonav is all the same. So why are they called two? So he says, for that reason, he says, as he does very commonly in the Sefer, he says, I'm going to try to explain the Midrash the way that I understand it. So he says, the Midrash wants to answer the question that we said, that we asked also. Why does it say here that Yaakov was Vayeshev Beretz Megurei Aviv? He lived in the land of his father. It already said before that, Vayavo Yaakov El Yitzchak Aviv. It already says that Yaakov came to Yitzchak, his father, and he lived with him. So why the repeat here? We already read about it in Parshas Vayishlach. So he says, he goes to a different background entirely. He says, we have to wonder, and we do wonder in other places, in other Meforshim, as to why Yaakov Avinu delayed in Lavan's house for such a long time. So, you see, his mother said, you'll live with him, Yomim Achadim, a number of years. Now, 20 years is not a number of years. So, the answer is, when it said that he served for Rachel, he worked by Lavan for 7 years, and it was just like the Yomim Achadim. So they say that Yomim Achadim that was by Yaakov when he worked was the Yomim Achadim that his mother Rivka referred to. So when she said Yomim Achadim, it meant what you need to get married and work for it. She knew he'd have to work for his wife. So that's the 7 years. So he knew that his mother meant that he would stay by Lavan for 7 years. But then what happened? Okay, he got Leah, and he wanted Rachel. So that meant another 7 years. Yeah. But he says the truth is, he should have gone home and left as soon as he married Rachel. The Yomim Achadim expired. It's past the expiration date. You go home. So maybe you'll say, well, he didn't go home because his mother said, V'shalachti yilukachticha misham. When she told him and advised him to go to Lavan, she said, I'll send and retrieve you, I'll fetch you from there. And that hasn't happened yet. So then the question he says is, and Rivka, why didn't she send for him after 7 years? So maybe you'll say she didn't send for him because she saw Esav is still on the warp path, and he's still going to be on Yaakov's trail. And she said, you'll come back when the wrath of your brother is gone. So the truth is, 20 years later, Esav was still angry. He came out with 400 people, and his intention was to wage war. So, in other words, everything we're looking at, we're getting nowhere. That's what he's showing us here. So then he says, but he sent her Yaakov Avinu's nurse, Devorah, was sent a short while after him, before Esav was angry. And it could be she sent Devorah while Yaakov was still by Lavan, because he wouldn't go home before his mother sent for him. And maybe sending for him was via Devorah. So he says, if you're going to say that when God said to him, and that we learned in last week's Parsha, that Hashem, or actually at the end of Vayetze, I'm already losing track of the time, almost in two parshas ago, Hashem says to Yaakov, return to the lands of your father. So he didn't wait to hear from his mother at that time. So how can he tell Lavan, let me go back to my land, before God told him go back? So then he says the hardest thing to understand is the last 6 years when Yaakov remained by Lavan to earn his sheep and to get wealthy. And when Lavan said, specify your remuneration, so he should have said, well, let's go to the books, you owe me X amount of sheep, of this kind, X amount of that kind, and then go home, but didn't mean to work there for 6 years. So he says, of course, Yaakov's intention wasn't just to get wealthy and to have equity in a lot of cattle. So this is how he looks at the problem here. What did the cause Yaakov Avinu a delay? First of all, why is this repeated? As we ourselves said, we pointed that out. And then he says, even if we go straight to the very beginning, what took Yaakov Avinu so long to come back? What was he thinking? I mean, besides the fact that he was punished for delaying for the 22 years that he was away, and then he lost Yosef for 22 years, which will be upcoming, but what was his thinking? What was his understanding that he didn't come back? Even if it was an error, but the Yaakov Avinu's thinking is something.
So the manager is by running all these kashas?
That's how he learns, okay. Yeah. Okay, so he says, to answer all of this, the Midrash brings the Pasuk from Yeshaya, that tells us everything here was min hashamayim. Bezakech yatziluch kibutzayich is like this. That the thinking of Yaakov is, he had fear of Esav all up until the time that Yosef was born. Like it says, when in Vayetze, when Rachel gave birth to Yosef, that was when Yaakov requested to return to his land, because he knew that Rashi and Chazal bring over there that Yosef is the one who could stand up to the force of Esav. Yaakov obviously saw that in Ruach HaKodesh. So before Yosef was born, there was no way to return home. He had no way of defense or potential defense against Esav until Yosef was born.
That's why he didn't return?
That's why he didn't return, and that's why only when Yosef was born did he ask to return. That's one thing we know. Then he says another thing we saw last week's parsha. Yaakov sent a huge, generous gift to Esav, and he says that was probably in min hashamayim, because Yaakov Avinu prepared himself for it. As we know, Rashi brings in last week's parsha, Yaakov prepared himself with a gift for Esav as a gesture of peace. He also davened, and he also prepared for war. So he says, even though Chazal challenged why Yaakov did this, and those were the midrashim we learned last week, I'm sure we recall, that Yaakov was criticized. Why are you even sending for Esav? He's going on his way to Seir. Why are you bothering him? He's not on your track. Why are you bringing up and instigating the ill will? So Hashem wasn't happy. But he says something that I actually mentioned Friday night in Elkins Park at a simcha, that I mentioned from another sefer, but the Be'er Mayim says it. I just wanted to give that other sefer credit that night. I had a reason for that. But the Be'er Mayim points it out in his parish too, that the Yaakov did it because he knew that in future generations his descendants will not have a whole bunch of malachim, whether 600,000 or 1.2 million. He knew that they wouldn't have the protection, and he wanted to do actions in his time so that those actions will stand as lessons to the upcoming generations, that the Maisa Ovis, what the actions of the patriarchs were a sign for what the children will do later when they're not in a tenable position to defend themselves. So that's what he writes himself. I brought it from a different sefer in my shul last Friday night. So he said, if that was the case, then Yaakov had to prepare himself for Esav. He had now the wherewithal to stand up to Esav. But there are three things you have to do to stand up to Esav. You have to offer him a goodwill gesture, a huge gift. That was step number one. So Yaakov Avinu had to remain for 6 years, not just take his pay and leave. He had to prepare to be able to build a future where he could stand up to Esav. That required amassing equity. So he had to grow the cattle. He needed 6 years for that. And he says, especially, there is a maimer in the Chazal and the Midrash. We never got there, but it says that for 9 straight years, annually, Yaakov would send similar huge gifts to Esav and Seir. So he kept him at bay for many years until the wrath of Esav at that time was settled. And he says also, there's another most important factor here. He says, let's say Yaakov would not have amassed the great amount of cattle that he had grown and wasn't able to take that back. Esav would have also remained in Canaan. It was only there was so much, and that was in last week's parsha. It says, Esav went away, Vayelech el Eretz. Esav went away to the land of Teseir, Mipnei Yaakov Achiv, because of his brother Yaakov, Ki Hoysa Rechusham Rav, because they had a great, farmagans in Yiddish, they had a lot of property. and the land where they had lived couldn't hold both of them. So that would not have happened if Yaakov came back with no equity, if he had huge flocks and tremendous equity. That was also needed to make room for Esav to leave. And he wouldn't have been able to. Right. And then he says also, he says, anyone who understands something, it's self-evident, he writes, that that was a great favor for Yaakov and his family to have Esav out of Israel. Like we would say that certain indigenous people who don't belong in Israel or Palestine would be better off out of there. We don't need them there. We don't need them. I'm sorry?
So where's Seir located?
Seir is part in the lower part of Asia Minor. And it's the lands like where Saudi Arabia is, and other parts of Africa, and part of Sudan, which is already out. These are areas that are not part of Asia Minor, but it goes further to where Syria is, to where Iraq of today is. Those are the areas we're talking about. So it was a very important to remove Esav from the land, you know. The current day commentators couldn't agree more with that. Here you have it. When they're out of the land, they must go. Not so easy, and we understand it's not so easy, but ideally that would be the best thing. If they're on the other side of the real border and in another land, we're better off. Yaakov didn't need Esav in Canaan or in Palestine or even in Israel. Who needs him there? There, you can't live in peace, he writes here. And this was written way before all of these issues. So he says, as long as Esav was there, Yaakov couldn't live in tranquility in the land of Israel. Self-understood. So he says, so from heaven it was ordained, it was meant that Yaakov should delay by Laban another 6 years and amass his equity and his cattle so that Esav is going to have to leave. That's why the more we settle there, the more of them have to go. How it is? There's power in numbers and settling land. Then when Yaakov had that signal with the birth of Yosef, he knew this is now the ripe time to try and make those efforts and lay the groundwork for the next 6 years, to drive out Esav. So he says, that's what the Midrash here means. This is very different than what the major Meforshim and the Midrash say. He says, Kinuso over here doesn't mean what Rashi and the Matnas Kahuna say, that it means the gathering together. It means the accumulation of his property. So there are two different things. One is his gathering himself means the amassing of his properties, of his equity. Then Kinus Bonov is getting together with his sons, and that is after Yosef was born. Then he knew his children have the deterrent power to drive Esav out, that he has a continuity. So he amassed, he laid the groundwork, and with the birth of his sons through Yosef, he knew that amassing of sons, that's already the signal for him to be able to proceed forward. Those are the two kinusim. That's what it means. And he says, that's what rescued him from Esav. So in his comment here, in the footnote, he says, don't ask me the following question, which means he's asking it. But he says, don't ask me. That's the way writers write. So he says, as soon as Yosef was born, he said, send me away. I, Binyamin, wasn't born, so it wasn't the gathering of all of his sons. So he says the answer is the main child when you're coming to stand up to Esav is Yosef. I mean, that I think was self-understood from what we said. And he says that's why it says in the next pasuk, Kayla told us Yaakov, Yosef was 17 years old. The children of Yaakov, and we jumped to Yosef. Because Yosef was the culmination of the children, what he needed to enable him to return to Canaan. So that becomes explained. So now he says like this. Now he's going to fit what he told us into the rest of the Midrash. So he says, since the Midrash hints out the two gatherings, the amassing of his property, that's one kinuso, then it is the birth of Yosef, which culminated with having enough of a family with the strength to rise up and to deter Esav. So that basically, and now he comes, he uses this for Rashi, that's why Rashi had to say Bezakech, the first word, not only Kibbutzayich, which everyone understands means gathering, but Bezakech means gathering together. And that's how he settles the Midrash and Rashi in one shot. Then he says, the Midrash continues the entire Pasuk. It says, Veskulam Yisa Ruach Yikachevel. All of them the wind will carry, and it will take nothingness, says Esav and his chieftains. And then after that it says, Vahachosabi, the one who hopes in me, is Yin Choleritz, will inherit the land, that's Yaakov. So now it's very simple. Vayeshev Yaakov means, now that the wind carried Esav and his chieftains, that they were enumerated at the end of Vayishlach. So now Yaakov knew, oh, Esav and his chieftains are around. I know it's my time that I'm going to come and take back Canaan, because he has a lot of people. It's Esav and all of his eight chieftains. There's not enough room for both of us in Canaan, so he's got to go. So that is Vahachosabi, the one who trusts in me, says Hashem, will inherit the land. That was Yaakov. So now he says, now I know why the repetition here, that Yaakov lived in the land where his fathers lived. We had the question that we said the Midrash is bothered with. It already wrote in last week's Parsha that Yaakov returned and to Yitzchak, so we know he's in the land of his fathers. But the answer is, as long as Esav has not parted from him, he's not going to sit in tranquility. Now, Vayeshev Yaakov, he knows he's going to have peaceful years. Which actually explains, he doesn't bring that here, but it explains a famous chazal that Rashi brings in Chumash and the Midrash brings later. And that chazal is basically that it says, Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva. Yaakov wanted to sit in tranquility, and then the satan, or the rogues, the anger of Yosef came up. Rashi says in Chumash Kafat Solov, rogzo shel Yosef, the anger of Yosef jumped on him. And the Midrash says, Kafat Solov, sitno shel Yosef, the satan, the persecution of Yosef began. But now we understand how you get that from Vayeshev, that he wanted to live in tranquility. Because if this Vayeshev means he's sitting in tranquility because Esav is out of the picture, so of course he wanted to live in tranquility. He's not threatened by the enemy anymore. He has a clean house. His homeland is only his homeland without, you know, the UN's phony intervention. So that's what was. But that doesn't mean he had tranquility. From Esav, yeah, he had tranquility for the rest of his life. But then the problem with Yosef had, there was an inner turmoil. So the Midrash is very well understood that way, with that additional touch to it. Okay, it's almost time, but maybe we'll go just a little bit further in his last piece here, which he puts it in this Midrash. It says, a pasuk in Mishlei, Nasu ve'ein rodeif Russia. They ran away and there's no one pursuing them, no evil person pursuing them. But the tzadikim ki chafir yiftach, will have trust, they'll have faith, like a kfir is a mighty type of a lion. So what does that mean? So he explains, he puts this in Maimer Aleph. So he says, we said as long as Esav wasn't separated from Yaakov, Yaakov had no tranquility. So what are you going to say? Maybe Yaakov pursued Esav, and Yaakov made a case. He said, well, You wrote me a document, the Midrash says, that the Bechorah, the birthright, is mine, so get out. I'm taking you to The Hague, to the international court, and I'm going to get you kicked out. Yaakov didn't open up such a case against him. So the answer is, why you'd want to know, why did Esav leave the land and not Yaakov? So what are you going to say? Maybe Yaakov forced him out? So it says, no. A Russia runs away even when no one's chasing him. Nosu vein roidef Russia. The Russia runs away like a whole horde, even when keiner nochtem leiftem nicht noch, even when no one is pursuing him. He runs himself. Yaakov didn't push him away. He just saw he's not going to be powerful with someone else. That was enough of a threat to him to drive him out of the land. I'm sorry? Where did he go? He went to the land of Seir, to other lands where the Arabs live today, to those lands. I mean, it's interspersed in different places, but he probably initially went to the southern part of Africa, which is also Arabia, Saudia, and he probably also went to further parts of Asia Minor, where the Arab, many Arabs are now. So that, he says, is Vayelech al Eretz. That it means he went on himself. No one pushed him out. But Esav ran away, and that was great for Yaakov. When they leave, that's the best thing. So that's v'tzadikim kichvir yiftoch v'yeshev Yaakov. Tzadikim have the trust like a mighty lion. They're secure in themselves, and that's v'yeshev Yaakov. Yaakov settled on his own. And then okay, that's basically the midrash for what we did. Okay, yeah.